Chapter 7. Pip, a Gentleman. One night, Joe and I were at the public house listening to Mr. Wopsle rant about a murder case in the newspaper. A stranger came up and scolded Mr. Wopsle for making unfair assumptions. The man sued had Wopsle totally speechless, something we'd not often seen. Then the stranger turned to the rest of us and asked for Joseph Gargery.
"Here?" Joe said.
"And you have an apprentice known as Pip?" the man said. "Is he here?" "I am," I cried. And it was then that I recognized the man as the stranger on the stairs at Miss Havisham's house those years before. The man said he would like to speak to us privately, so we walked home, no one speaking until we were settled in the parlor.
"My name is Jaggers," the man announced. "I have come to make an offer that I would not make were it up to me. It is not. I am here on behalf of another whose name will not be mentioned."
Jaggers then asked Joe if he would release me from my bond as an apprentice if something more for my good came along. Joe agreed immediately. Mr. Jaggers then turned to me.
"It is the desire of your anonymous benefactor that you be brought up as a gentleman. You are a man of great expectations."
I stared in stunned silence as Jaggers outlined the conditions. I must never ask the name of my benefactor or make public any guesses about the person's identity. I was to keep the name Pip, and I was to go to London where Mr. Matthew Pocket would be my tutor. Mr. Pocket was another relative of Miss Havisham, so I felt that was proof. Miss Havisham must intend to make me a gentleman fit for Estella.
"You will need clothes," Jagger said. "Not working clothes, but clothes fitting a young man of great expectations."
He opened a purse and counted out 20 guineas for their purchase. Soon after, he left. Both Joe and Biddy congratulated me heartily, but with sadness. They kept saying,
"Pip, a gentleman,"
with such wonder and disbelief that I became quite annoyed. Preparations for leaving kept me busy. First, I had to order clothes, so I went to the village tailor. Mr. Trabb seemed content to chat with me over his breakfast as if my needs were less than his need for toast and butter. Then I mentioned my good fortune. Mr. Trabb hopped up and quickly led me into the shop proper. He had his assistant bring out fine cloth, which he recommended for different situations. After I chose, he promised to have my new things finished quickly. When my new clothes were finally done, I slipped into them and went straightway to visit Miss Havisham. Miss Pocket was clearly shocked to see me in my new suit, but it did not improve her manners.
"Good gracious," she cried. "What do you want?"
I told her I wanted to see Miss Havisham. She left me waiting at the gate while she learned whether Miss Havisham wanted to see me. She did. I found Miss Havisham pacing around the great room that held her wedding cake.
"I leave for London tomorrow," I said. "I wanted to say goodbye."
"Yes, I have seen Mr. Jaggers," the old woman said.
Then she encouraged me to repeat each detail of my good fortune, while Miss Pocket grew paler and more visibly jealous. Finally, Miss Havisham bid me goodbye, and so I left my fairy godmother, with both hands on her cane and the crumbling cake beside her. When the day came for my leaving, I kissed Biddy and my sister, who laughed. I threw my arms around Joe, then I left. The journey to London took about 5 hours. Had I not been convinced that London held the very best of everything, I might have found it dirty, ugly, and narrow. I went at once to Mr. Jagger's rooms. As the lawyer was not yet back from court, I passed the time with a little walk. In the streets near his office, I heard Mr. Jagger's name on many lips. Clearly, he was a man of fierce reputation. When he finally arrived, he told me I would receive an allowance.
"You are not limited to that," he said. "You'll find your credit good, and I'll keep my eye out that you don't let your debt run away from you."
He explained that my bills would be sent to his office and paid by his clerk, Wemmick. After that, Mr. Wemmick walked me to the rooms belonging to my tutor's son. I would be staying with him until I met his father on Monday.